Welcome, welcome, welcome to Being Black Fathers. I am Ramel, a.k.a. Chief, and I basically started this platform just to give the black fathers a voice. Let me get this out the way early. This is no shape, form, or fashion, no platform to bash and disrespect and tear down the black queens, our mothers. No, no way, form, or fashion. I was raised better than that. This is simply a platform for the black fathers to just voice how they feel and some of the things they've been through, the obstacles they made it through to be a father. Because make no mistake about it, yes, it's hard being a black mother, but it's extra hard to be a black father because it come with a whole extra bag of stuff. But, you know, with that being said, let's get into it. Let me give you a little bit backstory of who I am. You know what I mean? I'm the youngest of three, the baby boy. I got an older brother, older sister, Shamika, man, you know. And we was raised in humble beginnings, surrounded by family. You know, it was a neighborhood back then. You know, we had the big mamas. They didn't play. You know, you get slapped, you get whooped. You know what I mean? It was what it was, but it made us who we was, you know. It taught us right from wrong. It gave us structure. So I ain't mad at it at all, you know. Lost my mother when I was six. And I'm only telling y'all this because I really don't be getting into stuff like this, but this just giving you the mind frame I'm in, just where I'm at not right now for all the things that I've been through. So just bear with me. But yeah, lost my mother when I was 6 years old. That right there was like a culture shock in the beginning. It's like I was here, but I wasn't here. You know, if that makes any sense to anybody. I was here, but I was out of it. You know, like an out-of-body experience or whatnot. But from that right there, because right there to me, like, yes, I remember a lot of things, but that right there to me, like, signifies to me, like, the beginning of who I became. So, yeah, my mother passed. Then my auntie, you know, she moved us in and she took care of us. Shout out to my auntie Fanny, man. Rest in peace. I love her to death. She was strong, strong, beautiful black woman, man. I'm to my strong, just like my mother. That's why I say I was always raised around strong women. All of them strong, beautiful, and black, man. Didn't take no mess. And that was beautiful. And I seen strong men, too, but these are the ones that stood out to me. But, yeah, my auntie, man, took us in, showed us love, and treated us like her own, man. And that was just a beautiful thing. And then, you know, lost her years later, man. I think I was like 15, 16 years old, man. And it was crazy, man. Because I remember that day, I'm just going to speak on it briefly. I remember that day, one particular moment that stood out to me. It's like I was in school. I'll never forget. It was Taylor Street Middle School. I was in school coming home. We getting off the bus. I remember Miss Frambo. She used to be our bus driver or whatnot. Let us out at the top of the hill. So as I'm coming down the hill and I'm seeing, like, you know, everybody at the house and stuff. Because, you know, from the top of the hill, you can see the house. So I'm seeing everybody, you know, on the porch and everything. And in my head, I'm sitting here thinking to myself, like, I could feel it and I ain't even there yet. But I'm like, oh, man, something ain't right. But as I get closer to the house and I see my auntie LaFerre, she come out the house, she crying. I see the tears in her eyes it already clicked. I'm like, wow, she gone. And this craziest part about it, like I said, I never spoke on stuff like this. It's like when I was in school that day, and I remember this, I mean, like, so clearly. I was in, what we was in? Chemistry, I think I was in chemistry or something like that. But I was sitting there, and it was just like this feeling just came over me, like a calm, peaceful feeling. You know, it's not a harmful feeling. It was just a calm, peaceful feeling. I felt it. And it made me smile. But, you know, I ain't think nothing of it. And they'll call me crazy. I'm just thinking maybe that was my auntie letting me know, you know. But I realized once I got to the house what was going on, man. That was the second defining moment in my life that made me who I am. So, moving on along, fast forward. End up moving to Cleveland, Ohio. Woo, woo, woo. Cleveland, Ohio. I got so much respect and love for Cleveland, Ohio because it taught me how to be a man. Like, a man. Like, showed me the ugly side of life. Yeah, the ugly side of life. Showed me that, you know, because I was coming from the country. You know, it wasn't sweet and soft in the country, but it was a totally different vibe when you leave that southern element and go more up north or midwest, so to speak. And so I get up there, man. It's like I'm in a whole nother world, and all type of stuff is going on that I never seen before, but I gotta adapt. I gotta get in here and get in where I fit in, you know. And it was cool, man. Like I say, it groomed me, man. It opened my eyes to reality, you know. And like I say, that's where I end up having my first two kids. My first was my baby girl, Kiki. Oh, man, like, this is when I learned how to love again, because from that moment my auntie left here all the way up to I had my daughter, that moment, that period in my life, I didn't really care about nothing. I felt like everything I love you took from me in the beginning, so I ain't got nothing. So fuck everything. Excuse my French. Didn't mean to cuss, but so I get up there and I end up having my daughter, Kiki. Oh man, I go to the hospital, man, and when I first laid my eyes on her, I knew she was mine because she looked exactly like my mother. It was like literally looking at a picture of my mother, and it was crazy. It melted my heart. That's when I started. It's like, I guess, so to speak, a crack in the ice, you know? And I'm looking at her, she looking at me, and this child right here looking at me like I am the world, man. Like, that was like the greatest feeling ever. And, you know, fast forward maybe about a year and a half later, my junior came. And he was just, I knew he was mine too, because he was lanky like my father. See, my father, all his brother, all my uncles, they all tall and lanky. And he was tall, lanky, just like him. He reminded me of my father. Like I said, it's crazy how my daughter looked just like my mother. Then my son looked just like my father. It was like, it was crazy, man. It was like mind blowing. But yeah, that's when I first had my first two kids. And like I say, no, I come from a place where I've seen strong black women, strong black men, you know, fathers and mothers working together. Even if they ain't together, they still working together, you know. You know, I never knew anything about like child support until I got to Cleveland. And that was like crazy because it was a rude awakening. And you know what I mean? When I first started going through it, in the beginning, I was like rebellious toward it because it made no sense to me, because they kept telling me like, this is child support. And in my mind, I always thought, ain't time that you spend with your child that's support. That's not even the money point, because that's going to happen. That we'll get into that later. But you know what I mean? They used to say things like that, and I'm looking at them like, what do you mean? A father being in his child's life is one of the most important and supportive things that could possibly be. But you know, that's when I realized and found out this ain't even really about the child. It's just basically about the money. And this is my thing to all you mothers. It don't be no real beef. I can only speak from my point of view now, giving my opinion. It don't really be static. A man just really just want to just let me take care of this child. I understand we brought this child here 50-50. Half-half, because it took what I had, and I took what you, and needed what you had to make that child, so it was 50-50. I don't mind doing everything I have to do for that child that I helped bring here, but you as a mother too, it's your job too, to do everything. That's what completes the child and make it 100. You can't be upset and angry and allow your personal feelings to get involved with a situation that you know, because you know 9 times out of 10, we come through a generation, these last couple generations, and not trying to down no generation, but it's a lot of hurt, a lot of pain, you know. We've been through a lot as people, period. So I get it. But if you genuinely see someone trying to change and do it different, then why not follow suit? Don't keep the same patterns going on, because you know it never benefits us. It always hurts us. I realize, like, for child support, period, the only way the woman can get the benefit if the father's not around. And that's not a good thing, because a father needs to be there. I can only speak for the good black fathers, the great black fathers, the ones that's there willing to go through it all, take all the hits, the blows, the disrespect, just to be there for their children. And these are the ones I'm talking to. I can't speak about the ones that just, you know, knuckleheads and don't understand, but they'll come into understanding later, hopefully. But I'm saying, you see this. Why would you make it harder for someone to do something for something that they helped bring here? It makes no sense to me. That's not love to me. And this is just how I see it. That's not love to me. If you genuinely love this child, this person, this young being that we helped brought here together, then you're not going to do anything to try to hurt him or stop him from being happy. And this is just how I look at it. But, you know, maybe people don't look at it like me. I say simply, it's my opinion again. But, yeah. And I'm not going to blame it all on them because, you know, the system is the system. Everybody know the system. They corrupt. They just snakes. And they ain't good for you. But they wiggle their way into your life, plant a seed and just uprooting your life for the rest of your life. And you spend your life trying to break them and tear them and uproot them out your life. It's easy for them to get in there, but it's hard for you to get rid of them. What we got to understand, man, we don't need no middleman. Because I look at it like this. They wasn't there when we was having the kids. So why do we need a mediator? We had these kids. It was all love. That's what I don't understand about relationships and mothers and fathers and stuff like that. Nobody's perfect. Let's get that in the air. Nobody perfect. I'm not perfect. But you was such in a place, in a space that you was able to have sex or whatever you want to call it, make love, and bring this little person here. Where's that love? That same love. It have to be because that's what you made it, that child with, love. In that moment, you may not love or deal with each other now. You might be going at each other neck. But in that moment, it took love because you allowed him to come inside of you. And see, and that's why I say it's crazy. So that same love that you made that child with, why can't you use that same love every time you're dealing with like situations with that child, this child's life? You can't hurt this child because, like I say, 9 times out of 10, we've been through it. It's been rough, the 80s, you know, crack era, all that. You know, so we've been through some rough times. We know how it feel to be apart. But hey, let's just try to come together. I mean, 9 times out of 10, you probably have a female, a black mother that was raised in a household with no father. And the same with the man. Why do we want to continue the same cycle of showing our kids the same things that we didn't like when we was coming up? That's selfish. That's not right. Your kids came up in the house, or you came up in a house with no father. Why would you want your kids to come up in a household or be raised without a father? What make you think that we don't love our kids? We don't want to be there. We don't want to smile. We don't want to clap and scream for our kids. They are our kids just as much as yours. Not taking nothing away from you. Because you're beautiful. I came from a woman and she was beautiful. She was amazing. But sometimes we could just be some evil, cruel people to each other. And that's sad. Like, that's why I say, I had to learn to forgive and move on. Literally forgive and let it go. Because, you know, sometimes you can say with your mouth, I forgive you, but still holding on. You can tell because you're always thinking about it or you arguing about it. Or you know what I mean? When it's really not even worth it. I look at it, you made it through it. Okay, we learned from it. We made mistakes here, here, here. Okay, now let's come up with a new game plan. It's time to switch it up. This is what we need to do. That same love we took to make this child, we need to use that same love and go to that same space again when it's time to make decisions for this child, to make sure this child that we brought here together come up like they supposed to and 1,000 times more successful than we could ever imagine. Because I think, to me, that's just me. This is my personal opinion. Like, this is what being a parent is. See, I didn't understand this when my parents were saying this to me when I was younger. I understood it, but it didn't, register till later on down the line. We made all these mistakes. Here we go. It's like we got a fresh page now. Think in the mind of a mindset of an artist. He got his brush. He got an empty canvas. Okay, now we got this younger being that we helped brought here. And now we got basically the cheat codes, and we can show you which way to go or which way not to go. You can't do that if we constantly in chaos. If you see the mother and the father can't even stand each other. Every time they talking to each other, they calling each other out their name, cussing each other out, screaming and hollering. That's not love. That ain't even good for the child. I had to learn that myself. But we was all young, and we do young things. Now, I learned to take the backseat approach. Just play it cool and work on the problem quietly. Because you can scream and holler all day, don't mean something gonna change. My point is, I said all that for me to say this. It's time for us to stop living like we was raised and look at this thing with a new approach. This is for these generations to come. We made the mistakes. 70s, 80s, 90s, we made the mistakes. Now what we gonna do? Keep doing it? Be a broken record? Or we gonna teach and show our kids a totally different way? Streets ain't cool. I tell my son that all the time. Streets ain't cool. Streets ain't got no love. Because when you look at it, what do you get from the streets? All the people could tell a whole bunch of RIP t-shirts, funerals, gunshot wounds, back of police cars, cuffs on your hands, pissy jail cells. That's what the streets give you. That's what the streets have to offer. We did that. We did that already. They can't do the same thing. This ain't for them. We got caught up in the hype. We only human. But now we know it's hype. We can't keep passing the same hype down the generation to generation. Somebody got to sever that chain. Somebody got to step up and be the better person. I say all that to say, this is what a black father is, man. We take all the blows, all the disrespect, just all the BS, and still stand tall. Still stand there strong like we supposed to. Unfazed. Yeah, niggas get be in their emotions sometimes. It hurts when you're dealing with people you love. But the end result, you still standing tall. And if your end result like mine, your child will be right here with you, just like me. I went through hell, but the end result, my child ended up here with me, right where he's supposed to be. Yeah, I don't understand the struggle and the middleman in between shit, but I guess that's just supposed to happen, or maybe that was just my path to walk. However, I take it how it came. I'm not upset or angry. All I'm saying is, it's time to change. People are always talking about it all the time. Talk, talk, talk. Let's actually move forward with it. Because I'm tired of seeing the same thing. Me personally, being repetitive. I can remember sometimes back in the old days, like we used to play, like I say, football in the field, roll to the back, all type of stuff. You know what I'm saying? I'm not saying like the kids should do that these days, but you know their own type of games or whatever. Basketball, we did everything, you know what I mean? But you seen actual kids outside enjoying life. Like the neighborhood was like cool when you weren't worrying about like no random stuff happening. If it did, it was once in a blue moon. That's what these kids need. We got to plant them seeds and let them grow. We got to give them a chance first. If they ain't got no chance, then what are we left with? And what are we doing? Why do we keep bringing them here if we're going to keep taking them away? it makes no sense. It's like redundant. But, you know, like I said, again, that's just my opinion. And this is my point of view for being a black father. It's just, and a little bit of mix of things that I'm tired of seeing. You know, it's a little bit everywhere, here and there, but that's why it's just an open conversation forum. Just having open conversations. And I'm just, you know what I mean? Like I said, just making my introduction to who you going to be dealing with. Chief. Like I say, moving forward again. I'm just sitting here freestyling this right now, y'all. I'm just sitting here vibing out on a Sunday morning, you know. Really getting ready for Monday morning, but you know how that go. It's time to build, man. I just don't want to see and can't see my children working in like factories and stuff like that for the rest of their life because they deserve 1,000 times better. And that's another reason I did this podcast, man. You know, something positive so my kids can be proud of me. They can go and listen to it. They see I'm not bashing their mothers and nothing like that because, like I said, I'm over it. And I learned how to forgive, to truly forgive and actually just let it go because at the end of the day, I look at life like this now. As long as I do right by you, it doesn't matter because I'm only getting judged according to what I've done in life. You know, so I can't make you be or act the way I want you to act. You're going to be who you're going to be. So you can have it. I don't have to participate with it. My granny used to tell me all the time, people can only do what you allow them to do, baby. And she was absolutely right because I don't have to partake in none of it. I could remove myself from the situation and keep that negative energy over there and keep my positive energy over here. It's simple as that. It's just time to just stop playing with each other, man. Talking about each other, man. Tearing each other down, man. It's getting old. It's like a sad song. It's like Lenny Williams. Cause I love you. Hey, and shout out to Lenny Williams, man. I don't know if he dead or alive, and that's my fault. But I love Cause I Love You. Because that's on fire. But we don't want to have it like that, though. Well, yeah, man, I briefly told you a little bit about me, man. Oh, yeah, some things I'm into. I might as well just get into it. I love making music. It's my therapy at this point. I've been making music for a long time. Man, but yeah, that's my therapy, man, to actually just allow me to just get on the mic behind an instrumental and just speak how I feel has got to be the most amazing thing ever. So, in this point in my life, it's just fun. I'm going to release some music, all type of stuff, you know. I'm trying to build a legacy here, something to tangible to hand my kids to so they can keep it going for their kids and their kids and they kids after that, you know, for generational wealth. I'm going to keep speaking that generational wealth because that's what it's time to do. It's time to build up empires, businesses, whatever it may be, whatever you into. It's time to build it up, man, and hand it off and let them make it. Oh, take it to the next level. Then let the next generation take it to the next level, you know, and it just keep going. And going and just getting bigger and bigger. That's the beauty. We may not get to see it, but we know it's happening. We can feel it. We're going to always be a part of it because we put our energy and our time into it. So it'll be well worth it. You know, we don't did the other side. We know how all the other stuff feels. Let's just try something new. See how it feels to actually just be able to walk outside and breathe. No worries. You ain't got to worry about nobody at you. Trying to rob you, take nothing from you. You could just breathe. Or you can be comfortable with allowing your kids to go out and enjoy life like you enjoyed life when you was a kid. And know in your head and their mind, in your mind that, hey man, they're going to be all right. They can take care of themselves. And it's cool out there. That would be a beautiful feeling. That'll be a beautiful feeling. And yes, it's going to take some work to get there. Yes, I know it's not going to happen overnight. That's impossible. But it starts small. A wildfire don't just be a wildfire. It starts small and then it turns into a wildfire. Just think about that and let that marinate. But yeah, I ain't want to tell my whole story on this first episode. I just gave y'all little bits and pieces of what's going on in my life. Now I'm going to tell you a little bit about the podcast. You know, I'm going to have guests, real black fathers. I'm going to be interviewing a lot of my coworkers. Like I said, my uncles, my father, you know, my grandfather. A lot of black fathers that I know. You know, so I got an abundance of interviews coming. And it's just speaking from our perspective, you know, on a side that you probably never hear. It's like the everyday person, the everyday black father, you know. I think it's a dope concept. And at the end of the season, first successful season, I'm putting it out there, speaking it to existence. Sit down and have like some sort of round table. Might have, you know, we'll do a father's round table. Then we might even get up to, you know, having a mother and a father round table. Black mother, black father. That'd be dope. You know, who knows? We just going to grow together, man. And if you become a subscriber, a listener, man, I appreciate you, man, for even giving me a little bit of your time and listening to my stories. I'm the one and only Chief. And this was Being Black Fathers. Brought to you by Gripland Royalty. Thank you.